Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call. It is hour number two. That means we've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up, and we'll continue our conversation about Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. What is left to do for the Packers? Do they just hang on to Rodgers and hope he just calms down? Or do they trade him? What is the likelihood that he is the starter come September? Robert Zizzo will join us from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in USA Today. He'll talk Packers with us. We'll also be talking more, again, look at the big picture on this. And I think a lot of it has to do with what we saw at the Super Bowl when Tom Brady successfully left the Patriots, a team where you felt like 20 years was enough. He wanted to try something new. He wanted to do his own thing. And he did. He got to go to Tampa for an organization that was willing to do whatever he wanted, bring in whoever they wanted, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, bring in Leonard Fournette. All of a sudden, you've got a team that Brady loves to be around, excited to be around, 43 years old, and he goes, oh, and by the way, I'll put a Lombardi trophy in your trophy case for you. Thanks for doing that. Now, look, if you're Russell Wilson, if you're Deshaun Watson, and now if you're Aaron Rodgers, maybe a lot of it is just complete and utter discontent for where you're at. Maybe you absolutely are unhappy with the way your organization is running it, not doing it the way you think it should be run. And in all three cases, we're seeing that. But I wonder how much Brady and the success he had and the happiness that he has later in his career is what is also trickling into the minds of these guys, from a young quarterback in Deshaun Watson to a guy that is a couple of years away from legitimately retiring in Aaron Rodgers at 38 years old. Because if you are a quarterback, you could be making all the money in the world, but it's not why you're there. It's not why you're continuing to pursue greatness. Money is always going to come. What you're looking for is that extra ring, that extra level. And if you feel like somehow, some way, the powers that be are working not in the way you think you can be successful, it's just going to build and build and build until you end up having some sort of public or private that becomes public explosion on your situation. And I think that's what we were seeing with those three guys this offseason. We're seeing quarterbacks use power a little bit more. Good, the bad, and the dumb next.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, I've been gone for 3 days, so good, the bad, and the dumb. I can't wait to get to this. Let's start with the good of the day on a Throwback Thursday.
Well, I'll let you a little on an inside secret, too.
All right.
It's the first one of the week.
Raul, okay, very good, yeah. Very good.
I feel like if I do it with someone else, I feel like it's cheating.
Oh,
I
don't, that's pretty
sweet. I've never been a cheater. Maybe that's the good of the day.
Very good.
But let's go with a different good of the day that I've been dying to have fun with.
Okay.
This happened over the weekend at a Diamondbacks game.
Oh, yeah, I saw this. This is cute.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. A buddy reached out to the Diamondbacks asked, hey, my buddy is on his second date. Can you guys pan out? Because I guess they were sitting close behind home plate. Can you guys pan out a little bit so I can see how the date is going? And so
That's awesome. He
reached out, and Diamondbacks actually responded. They panned out, and they said, what's he wearing? And they had this little Twitter thing going back and forth, this conversation with the social media guys talking to the cameraman or talking to the television crew saying, hey, we need you guys to, let's find this guy. And they end up finding the guy.
And it turns out
that he wasn't behind home plate. He was just down the third baseline a little bit, still, close. And the guy was on a second date.
Why in the world would they do that?
I don't know. I mean, it almost feels like it had to be planned ahead, but it wasn't.
Right. Why would the Diamondbacks go, guy, listen, I appreciate it, but we got 100 things we're doing right now. Maybe, but instead they went, let's have fun with this. Why not?
Maybe this is baseball now.
Good point. Maybe baseball is like, we got to start warming up to people.
We got
to
start doing something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not just about the game.
Well, you know, now these were young people, right? I
mean, yeah.
This, but they were young people.
Well, because there's the other part of that too is that somebody, I don't know who it was on Twitter, complained that he was wearing shorts and a t-shirt for a second date.
Ooh.
And it took a nasty turn, and everyone kind of, you know, jumped all over this girl who ended up deleting that tweet. But hey, once you put it up there.
Yeah, is it? Yeah, right. But is it because?
No, she was wearing ripped jeans and a tank top. They were dressed for a baseball game.
Yeah,
I mean,
but millennials kind of have a, you know, they kind of have an expectation. Like, they're reaching out to you on social media. They kind of want a response. They don't understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so,
that's
so if
true.
You're trying to reach out to young people, like I think your thought on why they did this was exactly right. I think it was, you know what, we got to do something like
we got to do something,
right?
You know, this is something that, you know, I mean, the social media guy said, oh, this could be great. This could go viral. And yeah, you know, we're talking about it a week later. It's like, how cool was that? This guy just decided to reach out and, you know, I think they ended up with getting two baseballs from the game.
Yeah, I saw that they got a couple of baseballs out of the deal.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. Very good. That is a good. That's kind of cool. So is there going to be a third date? Does anybody know? Is there already been a third date?
That's what the Diamondbacks asked. So
are they going to give them tickets?
I would. Wouldn't you?
If you're the Diamondbacks, why don't you go?
Just give them tickets.
Why don't we do this? You guys will get dinner at one of our restaurants here in the stadium and tickets to some really good seats, like behind home plate or something. Whatever they could give them. And you're like, here is the third date on us for making this viral and showing the rest of America that we're into young, hip people and we want to cater to you as best we possibly can.
Yes.
Since we totally screwed that generation over by not going with technology as soon as possible. How about that? That sounds like a good idea.
Brilliant.
Yeah, very good. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and it's kind of fun, right?
Right.
Everyone knew it was coming, and I do mean everyone. At the start of the Rangers-Capitals game yesterday.
You could see this coming a mile away, right? Even if you're not a hockey fan, if you just knew that something had happened the last time they played, you would know it happened,
How many refs are on the ice in a normal hockey game?
Three,
right? I mean, because there were four.
Yeah.
I know that because I counted. I was like, man, it seems like there's a lot of...
You brought another one in.
There's another ref. I guess he just was already laced up, ready to go?
Yeah. So to set it up, Tom Wilson of the Capitals hit Artemi Panarin and injured him.
Yeah.
And the Rangers were really, really angry.
It was brutal.
Yeah, it was a bad,
He went total goon on him.
That's right. So with that in mind, they went right to fisticuffs as soon as the game started.
I don't know what came down, what dropped first, the puck or the gloves.
Right. They went right to fisticuffs.
Yeah.
In the first, there was
100 penalty minutes in the first period.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I saw that today and I was trying to remember it.
That's why I brought that up.
It was a ton.
100 penalty minutes in the first minute.
That's amazing.
I think there is a photo. I don't know if it's real or not, but there's a photo. There's like five, I think it was five Capital players in the penalty box. Just like to start the game. Or
something.
Yeah. It's like, oh, it's getting crowded in here.
How great is that?
But I mean, it was just funny because you watched, obviously I wasn't watching it live. I saw the video, but you could see everyone, even the refs knew, even the ref dropping the puck was like, oh God, here we go. Do I drop? Do you guys just want to fight before I drop this? How do you guys want
to
go about
it? There is such a culture to this, right?
Like, oh my God.
Like, there wasn't even, like, imagine if a baseball game, third game, like today, okay? Let's say the Astros were just getting really tired of the Yankees for whatever reason. And they just said, you know what? We're going after them as soon as, like, first pitch. First pitch, I'm throwing at the guy's head, and we are going to run and fight as soon as, and all the umpires would be freaking out. Rob Manfred would be losing his mind. There would be a public sort of apology to America, how awful this is. If the NBA, before tip-off, if the Philadelphia 76ers and the Milwaukee Bucks just started throwing punches as soon as the ball is up in the air, and Adam Silver would go, oh, this could never happen again. Everybody who's involved could never play in the NBA forever.
Both teams would be suspended. I mean, right? Look, What happens when you have a fight? A player gets suspended for a day, a week. Latrell Sprewell got ran out of the league, got kicked off a team.
But the NHL, they knew this was going to happen before they even went on the ice.
I found the audio of the beginning of the game. Here you go.
Go ahead.
Carl Hagelin, Nick Dowd, and Garnet Hathaway, they combined for 2 goals, 3 assists.
Here we go.
Right off the faceoff, three fights simultaneously. Rooney and Dowd.
Best.
DiGiuseppe going at it with Hathaway, Blackwell, and Hagelin. 1 second in.
1 second in because they had a beef, a legitimate beef, the night, couple nights before, time they played.
But what I love about it, it's so casual.
Right.
And there's the video, there's a long form of that video. At one point, it was like, oh, well, that was good of him. The guy, you know, one guy decided to stop hitting the other guy because he was on the ice.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that was, that was good of him. I don't know what that is, what he's showing, but.
That's crazy. It's just, again, you talk to hockey guys, and I know a zillion of them, and it's just something that they know is part of their sport.
Yeah.
It's part of their sport.
Part of their sport.
And, other sports, it would never happen.
Like, two of the fights, if a guy hits the ice, the fight's over.
Right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess that's the new rule. You can't go all MMA on him and just start pounding him on the ice. There is a third fight, and what I love most about seeing this is that you see there's two refs casually skating over. They have no interest in breaking this up. They're just waiting.
Yeah.
And then it reaches a point where they're just, they're holding each other's sweaters and they're just exchanging punches, and the refs are like, given you guys a minute. Let's wrap it up.
There is a level of policing yourself, right? But because they'll do that without going completely overboard. Don't get me wrong. There's been a lot of overboard moments, right? I mean,
Marty
McSorley with a stick and some others. But for the most part, a lot of these are, I know the rules, you know the rules, we know what we're doing, just let us do this, and then we're done. Then we'll move on and actually play
and
the game.
It's so strange why it's widely accepted.
Totally widely accepted. Completely. Without a thought process or even a debate.
I mean, look what happened when Miles Garrett, when he did that to Mason Rudolph. Yeah. I mean, the two
we
of them.
We had a national meltdown.
Yes.
We had a national meltdown over two football players fighting.
With helmets on.
I mean,
Miles Garrett ended up ripping off a helmet using it as a weapon.
Right.
But a lot of times you see these fights and they have helmets on and we're still in awe. I mean, shame on these guys. Like,
right.
They're punching each other and they have helmets on. They're not feeling a thing.
Exactly. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day is that celebrities are just like us. Right? There used to be a column in People, and I used to love it, and I love this one here. I have two stories for you because celebrities are just like us. The first one is Adam Sandler. A hostess at an IHOP turned Adam Sandler away.
Oh, she did?
Did not realize who he was. She didn't really turn him away. Adam Sandler walked into an IHOP with his daughter. The hostess said, hey, it's going to be a 30-minute wait. And then you see on the security footage, you see Adam Sandler just like, oh, okay, and walks away. Like we all do.
Oh, so she's really not at fault.
No, but then she realized.
Was she supposed to give Adam Sandler a seat ahead of everybody
else? Well, she realized shortly after who he was. It was like, oh, please come back. But Adam Sandler had a funny thing about it. He says, well, when he found out that the all-you-can-eat breakfast did not include milkshakes, he left.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
But I mean, no, they're just like, many times you walked in there and they said 30 minute wait and you're like, oh, I'm not doing that.
Especially if you know it's not like it's not a Friday, Saturday busy. Like if you could feel like you could get somewhere else sat, then you'd be like, all right. Sometimes my wife will go, look, it's going to be busy everywhere we go. So we might as well just stay here.
Right.
But sometimes she goes, this is ridiculous. Tuesday. What are we doing?
And they say, I mean, this is Adam Sandler. It's IHOP. I mean,
That's great. Yeah.
I love the fact that he wanted to go to IHOP with his daughter.
Yeah.
The other one is a girl on Tinder, or not on Tinder. It's another dating app called Raya.
Oh, really? There's more now?
Oh, there's a whole bunch.
Sure,
this one is for the upper level. I don't know what the criteria to get into Raya is, but it's not. I don't know if it's for you and I, basically. But anyway, she matched with Ben Affleck.
No way.
And then obviously unmatched quickly because this was a fake account. But Ben Affleck then reached out to her and says, no, it's me. Why'd you unmask
that's
me?
That's right. So Ben Affleck's like, of course. Yeah.
But at the same time, the thing I'm thinking about is, Ben, why are you on a dating app?
Yeah, well, I thought wait a minute. No, he's not married anymore.
He's not married anymore. Although
he's dating that woman from Knives Out, I thought.
Apparently not. And more recently, he's been spotted with his ex, who happens to be A-Rod's ex as well.
J-Lo.
But they're just friends.
Just friends, yeah.
But, I mean, again, can't Ben Affleck just walk into a bar?
Yeah, why is he on a dating app?
Does he have to go dating app route?
Kind of the point of being a celebrity,
right,
famous actor?
You don't have to
use a dating app.
Isn't it just thrown at you?
Yeah, I thought that was kind of the perk of the business. You can land it.
You're a single, if you're a high profile actor, Ben Affleck is a high profile actor. He can walk into any place and just strike up a conversation with someone and go, yeah. You come with me.
Absolutely. Sure he can.
Thought that was part. Yeah, that, you're right. That's a perk of the job.
It's part of the deal, I think. Part of the
game. Nah, he's on a dating app.
Oh, goodness. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. All right, again, we'll talk Packers coming up down the road in terms of where Green Bay is heading with Aaron Rodgers, and we will do that with Robert Zizzo. And what a cool last name is that, Z-I-Z-Z-O. That's fantastic. That's got to be worth, what, 500 in Scrabble?
Yeah.
Your last name?
Oh, you'd hate to play with him.
That's right.
Because
three Z's.
Well, he would throw that down, and you're like, no, that's not a word. And he's like, I believe it is.
That's pretty cool.
Here's my
Robert
license.
Zizzo, USA Today and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll talk Packers with them coming up. Hey, we continue along. It's on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. It's Wake Up Call.
Get out of that bed. Wash your face and hands.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
1954, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. This is our Throwback Thursday. Did it on this date. So we celebrate athletic accomplishments on Throwback Thursday. So happy anniversary, Roger Bannister. Very fantastic achievement that people thought wouldn't be possible. Not only did you prove it was possible, but then a lot of people just took it over. By the way, are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't compromise your visibility with streaks or smearing on your windows. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Professional parts people will help you navigate their wide selection to find just the right wiper blades for your vehicle. O'Reilly Auto Parts will even install your wiper blades free of charge. See better and drive safer with new wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. 10 minutes from now, we will talk to Robert Zizzo of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the Packers situation and what indeed is going on and how did this all really come about? Is there more to this than just being disgruntled by draft picks? And what is such the angst of Aaron Rodgers? That's coming up in 10 minutes. We were talking about the Rangers-Capitals game last night that started in a fight and how it's just sort of this sort of fighting payback sort of is ingrooved into the culture of hockey. I remember when my wife and I moved out to Colorado. My wife's a big hockey fan, and she started like really getting into the Avalanche. And there was a young player on the Avs named Steve Moore. And Moore, they were playing Vancouver in a game, and Moore hit Marcus Naslund of the Canucks, who was their star player. And it was pretty bad. And the Canucks openly said that they were going to be coming after Moore when they would play again. Like, just openly said that. Like, to the league and everybody. Yeah. Like, we will get you when we play you again. And so Moore,
they're the same as like a murderer or a bank robber going,
right?
Yes, I'm going to be robbing this bank this date at this time.
That's exactly right. They were like, when we play them, mark it on the calendar, we will be going after him. So just know that before we go to the game. So they went into the game and I used to go to bed pretty early. I was a sports director at the station. And so the Avs were playing kind of late. It was in Vancouver and I went to bed and my only time my wife ever woke me up for something in a sporting event, she woke me up. She says, you have got to see this. Get up. You have got to see this. I went to the television. Todd Bertuzzi had jumped on the back of Steve Moore in the game. And it was kind of late in the game. I think it was in the third period. So Moore was allowed to, we're coming, but you don't know when we're coming kind of thing. He jumped on the back of Steve Moore and drove him into the ice. drove him into the ice. And the kid ended up in the hospital and he busted neck and everything, and he never played again. But there was a conversation. So naturally the conversation goes, look, this is ridiculous. Like, this kid's not going to play. And like, and people were saying there should be criminal charges for assault on Todd Bertuzzi. And so the debate started coming around going, well, would you really want sports to be run that way? Like, would you like think of all the sports, right? Think of every time a benches clearing brawl or even a fight in hockey, or, you know, hey, I'm getting too physical in basketball and I'm going to start swinging some arms in a little bit. And, you know, just the stuff we see on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes that does result in injury. Would you want cops hanging around a locker room at an arena going, well, we're here to arrest so-and-so. Zion Williamson got too personal with his hands and got punched in the face, and now we're going to arrest the guy that punched him in the face. Like, would you want that? Now, obviously, there's extreme circumstances, but everything's sort of slippery slope. And I remember this was like a legitimate debate. But the hockey people were saying, no, this is just what we do. It stinks. It probably was more aggressive than it should. Bertuzzi ended up getting suspended. But the culture was ingrained into the culture. This is how we handle business. And it was just so fascinating because you could see it coming a mile away. There was no hiding the potential. Like, umpires will warn pitchers, I know you're going to hit this guy. Don't you dare hit this guy. I know you want to. I'm telling you right now, you throw anything at that guy's head, the first inkling I get that fastball is even close to that guy's noggin, I will throw you out of this game. They will do that. When they know that there's beef, when they know that there's something not quite right with the ball game, they will come right out and say that. Hockey officials, it's just let them do it. Let's see where this goes. We're not stopping it. We're not going to try to stop it. We're not going to threaten to stop it. We're just going to do it. So Marty McSorley of the Bruins that smashed Donald Brashear with his stick, smashed his head like a watermelon. Just.
The good old days.
Yeah, God.
Actually, you can't even say the brutal. Good old days because, I mean, we saw it again last night.
That's right. Last night, dropped gloves as soon as the just puck dropped.
Talkie.
That's right. And it's so true. There is this level of just, that's just part of what they do, right? And
yeah.
That's part of the thing.
That's part of the game. I mean, you know, you could be a flashy scorer and you know what the sad thing is? Because what got lost in all that was TJ Oshie.
TJ Oshie.
Scoring a hat trick in that game.
That's right.
Which is, like, you know, he had taken some time off because his father just recently passed away.
Oh, that's right.
So, I mean, he had like his Brett Favre moment. That's the only person I can draw from who.
But that's not what we'll remember that game for.
No, not at all. We're going to remember 1 second into the game.
That's right.
Gloves drop puck drops, gloves drop.
So, as I mentioned earlier, in about 3 minutes, we're going to have Robert Zizzo on to talk Aaron Rodgers. I'm fascinated how people in Milwaukee, I've always said the closer you get to the nucleus of a story, the more elements start popping up, things people in Milwaukee and Green Bay may be thinking or knowing more than if you expand it out nationally. Like, some guy in Phoenix may just not know the Aaron Rodgers situation as closely as somebody who's a Packer fan or diehard Packer fan in Milwaukee or Green Bay or Madison or even around the country where you can get on blogs and stuff. I wonder how long has people in Milwaukee and Green Bay and that in Wisconsin, how long have they felt that a divorce is coming, if it is coming at all? Like, at any point last season that they go, this could be it. He's probably playing one more year and he's done. Or are they as shocked as we are that they can't resolve this at all?
Yeah, I mean,
and that Rodgers is openly telling free agents, I'm not going to be playing.
Not only that, but Adam Schefter comes out with a tweet today saying Green Bay is looking at adding quarterbacks because the only other quarterback they have on the roster right now is Jordan Love.
That's right.
So they're thinking about bringing in some quarterbacks for OTAs and training camp.
In case Rodgers goes, you know what? I am leaving. Goodbye. Jeopardy's calling my name. See you later. I'm not playing for you. I told you I wouldn't, and I'm not.
See, that's the only thing. He wasn't that great on Jeopardy.
Well, that's true. All right, we'll get the lowdown coming up next. It's Wake Up Call.
Well, that's all right, Mom.
It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, Throwback Thursday 1954 is the music. We go back there because Roger Bannister broke the four-minute mile on this date. Robert Zizzo joins us, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel USA Today, to talk the Packers situation. On a Progressive guest line, Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at Progressive.com today. How are you, Robert?
I'm well. How are you, Tony?
We have been dealing with this, feel like we've been dealing with something brewing between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers for a while. When did you start feeling like there was a divorce coming? Was it at the draft last year or sometime during the season? When did you feel like there was something brewing?
Yeah, well, probably after the draft last year when they picked Jordan Love, traded up to pick Jordan Love in the first round, and you knew that this was going to be the groomed successor. But Rodgers publicly handled it pretty well last year, and there didn't really seem to be much of a rift there. But then there were a couple of clues during the season and after the season when he talked about not knowing what his future looked like in Green Bay. And, you know, just comments here and there that made you think a little bit about how he viewed that pick. But then, of course, a week ago, it all blew up.
Is it realistic for the Packers to have Rodgers involved in picks? Or how should they have treated Rodgers in the decisions that they want to go, the big picture for the franchise?
You know, the Packers have had sustained success for about 30 years now because they're a draft and develop team that doesn't put any one player above the team. And that's a cliche and all that. But really, you know, they sign their own free agents. They don't go outside for free agents. And so when it comes to the draft, that's their bread and butter. So to involve a quarterback, even a three-time MVP quarterback, seems like it's not good for the entire organization, and it's not sustainable.
The defensive draft picks that they've taken in the first round since Rodgers has been there, how much does that bother him, or were a lot of those the right pick at the time?
Well, they seem to be the right pick at the time because the Packers have had a rather weak defense ever since they won the Super Bowl in 2010. They've had a couple of good seasons in between, so they've always been trying to shore up that side of the ball. A lot of those picks didn't work out, and so they've had to keep trying to make up for their mistakes in the first round, first and second rounds. But this narrative of not having enough weapons for Rodgers doesn't really fly with me because, you know, he's got, you know, he may make these players better, like sure. Aaron Jones and Davante Adams, and, you know, he's got a All-Pro left tackle, but he may make players better. But there's also some talent there that may not be first-round talent, but it's NFL talent.
So the Packers they don't have an owner that's like Robert Kraft or Jerry Jones. It's sort of the one guy that stands above everybody else. Who's he mad at? Who's he really angry with?
I think he's really angry at the general manager, Brian Gutekunst. He's the one who's in charge of the draft and the roster, and I really think the flashpoint in all of this was when he picked Jordan Love, which is kind of ironic because Aaron Rodgers was Jordan Love in 2005, and the Packers are, you know, they know that the worst time to look for a quarterback is when you need a quarterback. The best time to find a quarterback is when you don't really need one and then you can groom him and make the right pick. So, but I think, you know, that upset his control, his personal timeline, and now that's playing out.
Get to that personal timeline, because I think that's important. When you draft a quarterback in the first round, there is a moment in time where you have to make a major decision on keeping him on the roster. That would not seem to be how Aaron Rodgers would have viewed his future, wanting to stay at that position for the Packers.
Correct, right. But, the season Rodgers had last year was a little bit of an aberration from the trend line that he had been on. Okay. He didn't have a great 2017, 18, 19 seasons. They were you know, by any other standard, they were outstanding. By Aaron Rodgers' standard, they were sort of trending down a little bit. So I think the Packers recognized that. They looked at, you know, where they were going to be in 3, 4, 5 years and hedged on the fact that he was going to continue to decrease a little bit, albeit small, but he was still decreasing. But then the MVP season of last year threw a wrench into all of those plans.
Is there anything with his relationship to Matt LaFleur that's also being into this? How is his relationship with the head coach?
I think that's probably the best relationship he has in the front, you know, in on that side of the organization. I think, you know, there was a little bit of, a growing period in their relationship when LaFleur first came on. He's only a couple of years older than Rodgers, so I think there was a little bit of, you know, is his reputation going to stand up here? And I think he did do some things in the offense that helped Rodgers, you know, have that MVP season. He takes some pressure off of Rodgers, a lot of play action, and it turned out well. So I think he's happy with the coach. I just think he's unhappy with his lack of control on when he is going to be not the number one quarterback anymore.
Robert Zizzo joins us, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and USA Today, talking Packers and, of course, Aaron Rodgers. I may be asking you to speculate a bit, so please forgive me, but do you think what went on in Tampa with Tom Brady and how that organization treated Brady and how they acquiesced to his demands, if you will, do you think there's something about that that's attractive to Rodgers that he would like the same thing in Green Bay?
That is speculation, which I'm not really in the business of, but
yeah.
I don't see how that, I mean, it's very possible that Rodgers saw that happen, saw Brady leave for another team and have instant success. That's always a gamble when you've been in one organization for a long time, you've had sustained success, that you go to another organization at the end of your career and you don't really know what's going to happen because you don't know the ins and outs of that organization. It's possible that seeing how Brady, you know, basically was plugged in there and they added some key players and they come away with a Super Bowl, he may have seen that as, okay, this can work somewhere else. But Aaron Rodgers is a very complex personality.
It seems the ball is in the Packers' hands here. They can just say, look, you either show up or you don't. We're not going to make a move on you. So if you'd like to play professional football, this is where you'll be playing it. But Rodgers could retire. Where do you see the power balance between these two sides?
It seems to me on the outside that Rodgers doesn't have a lot of leverage here other than he's their best chance this year of winning a Super Bowl. He's the Packers' best chance of winning a Super Bowl. If he's gone, that's a huge hill to climb for a team that has really relied on him for success. But I'm not sure he has any leverage beyond that. Certainly he doesn't have money leverage because if he retires, he doesn't get paid. They can trade him, but it doesn't make sense for them to trade him now. Which, you know, that brings up a curiosity about the timing of all this. If Rodgers truly wanted to get traded this year, he would have made all of this, you know, he would have made it public or his camp would have made it public well ahead of the draft so that the Packers would have had time to, you know, make a trade that made sense for this year where they could get, you know, a first-round draft pick this year, maybe some future picks and a player that could really help them. But you know, it all came out on draft day, and that's a little short timing to try to come up with something like that.
Is this salvageable? Can the two sides sit down in a room and bang this out, or is it that far gone?
I think it's salvageable. I think a lot of what this is, and again, this is, you know, this is me speculating. I don't know what's going on in the minds or in the front office, but I do think that Rodgers made his point that I can hold this team hostage if I want. But I don't think it's in his best interest to maybe get traded to a Houston or a place like that where, you know, he doesn't have a no trade clause. So they could trade him to the Texans if the Texans, you know, believe he'll sign with them and play. But it's not like he can choose where he goes. So I do think that a lot of this will be played out over the next few months. And even if he shows up on September 7th for the opener, I think, I think everybody will be okay.
All right, I'll get you out with this one. Your gut feeling, is he the starting quarterback on opening day?
Yes, that's my gut.
Yeah, Robert, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on. It's a little complex, but there's some diving to do with this between these two sides. Thank you so much.
No problem, Tony. Thanks.
Robert Zizzo, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, USA Today, on the Packers situation on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive new Home Quote Explorer only at progressive.com. Also want to remind you about Tub of Towels. When you got a mess, you need Tub of Towels to clean it up. 30,000 five-star reviews for a reason, because unlike other wipes, they literally break down the bond that holds dirt and grease on surface to clean just about anything. Auto interiors and exteriors, leather, vinyl, metal, walls, floors, tiles, grills, outdoor furniture. It's that time of season again. Paint rollers, brushes, pans. I'm telling you, this is when the insects start coming and making a mess. Tub of Towels, clean it up, make stuff look shiny and new. Lawn and garden equipment, it breaks down food and drink stains, ink, glue, wax, permanent marker, adhesives, decals, paints and stains, grease, oil, and tar. And it's got the vapor lock lid, snap shut, strong tub, creates a seal that keeps those wipes nice and moist for you to use them again and again. You can find Tub of Towels at AutoZone, Advance, Napa, Pep Boys, and O'Reilly. Again, they are great for the hands as well. Contains aloe vera, vitamin E, and lanolin. So tough on dirt, gentle on the hands. It is Tub of Towels. It is Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Mr. Sandman. It's a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Now back to the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Tony D and Ron Culver.
Man, we go all out on Throwback Thursday. This is 1954 for the Roger Bannister 4-minute mile breakage on this date. But man, you're going to be humming this all day.
Yeah, you will.
You're welcome. Love it.
You're just going to be all of a sudden just sitting there at your desk going, bum, 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 bum.
4-minute mile, Roger Bannister on this date. Also on this date, the Hindenburg crashed. That's not so good. That's not a good Throwback Thursday.
No. I threw a long list out there, and normally I've struggled finding one.
You also gave me 1915, but we wouldn't have had good music for 1915.
No. It would have been terrible.
Babe Ruth hits his first Major League Baseball home run.
Yeah.
Pitches 12 innings for Boston and a 4-3 extra inning loss to the Yankees.
The original then. Shohei Ohtani.
No kidding.
Do you think he knew at that moment that he had like 713 more to go?
Right. If you had told him that in 1915, he would have probably punched you or something, or maybe just asked you to quietly leave.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rick Pitino. He
probably would have been like, of course I do, kid.
That's right. Yeah, I plan to hit 700. Rick Pitino became the head coach of the Celtics on this date in 1997, a great moment in Boston Celtics history. Kerry Wood struck out 20 Astros on this date in 1998. That was pretty neat.
Yep.
Roger Clemens. He threw a one-hitter. And then in 1957, the last broadcast of I Love Lucy on CBS TV.
Yeah.
You know, that's good. So that was neat.
Wow.
By the way, back then, I Love Lucy was probably watched by one in every two people in the country.
Yes.
In those days when television was like it was the only real, you know, just
the only thing you had.
You could probably walk through the streets of any city and literally every window would have I Love Lucy playing out of it.
That was the joke in Crocodile Dundee.
That's right, wasn't it?
Remember, he gets into the hotel. It's like, you know, and I can't remember her name. She's like, there's a TV. And he turns it on and goes, yep, that's what I saw, and turns it off.
That's right.
It was I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. That's true. Good point. So that was happening on this day.
But Roger Bannister doing the impossible.
So we asked Robert.
Now if you run a 4-minute mile, you're not even.
Yeah, I know.
You're not even like, you're not even on a team.
What's the Olympic mile now? Like, what is, what do you, like, if you were
I
want to
say
make,
like 340.
Wow, that's crazy. Isn't that great? That's wonderful. We asked Robert Zizzo of the USA Today, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, his thought. He thinks Rodgers is going to be the starting quarterback. There's always a part of me that thinks in the end things calm down and people realize they do have a lot to lose, right? Packers are not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. I can't see it happening. I just can't. I cannot. I would.
There's no way.
I would say blink. If you think, if you're threatening retirement, then do it. Fill out the paperwork. Do
it. Would you go as far as saying, you know what? If they do trade him, I'm walking to Green Bay.
I've already walked to Chicago. I might as well keep going.
Might as well just keep heading north.
I just can't see. Like, you look, this happens in politics all the time, where a governor will push things down the road to a point where another governor has to deal with it, that he doesn't have to say no to something. He'll let somebody else say no to something. So bad payments to groups or whatever just keep going, because nobody wants to be the guy that makes the tough decision. This is the same thing. If you do not want to be the general manager that trades Aaron Rodgers just because he said so, without any, let him retire. Let him fill out the paperwork. And if he does, he does. And if he doesn't, he's playing for you. And then you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. And Aaron Rodgers is too much of a competitor. He'll go out there and give it 100%. We no doubt about it. And you get your quarterback.
Yep.
But the idea, like, people thinking he was being traded on draft day, that was crazy talk. But, you know, stranger things have happened. Jake Asman Show is coming up next. Thanks for being with us on Sports Map Radio.